Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and I renew the call, but our lines are already full. So as we finish up with some of the folks here, we'll take your calls as well. We want to hear from people over 65 who use Medicare. Tell us, are you happy with your Medicare coverage? What do you think works and what doesn't in the system? If this is a moment of redesigning Medicare, how would you redesign Medicare in reaction to the Ryan plan or anything you see as you use the system as a patient? And we equally want to hear from doctors and hospital officials and physical therapists and nurses and anyone else who takes Medicare as a provider. Give us a call and tell us, do you see ways to improve Medicare? And what would you do to contain costs, since everybody agrees that the astronomical growth rate of Medicare has to be reined in one way or the other? Should it become a private competitive insurance system with a voucher or a subsidy from the government so that seniors can afford it? Or can it remain a single-payer system, in your opinion, and still contain costs? 212-433-WNYC. If we get all patients calling in, by the way, don't be insulted if we bump you off the line so we get some providers. We definitely want to hear from doctors here. We definitely want to hear from hospital officials. We definitely want to hear from physical therapists. We definitely want to hear from anybody in the biz who accepts Medicare, because you're on the front lines of it in a different way, but at least an equally relevant way as the patients. Let's start with Judith in Manhattan. Judith, you're on WNYC. Thank you so much for calling.
Hi. I'm aces to Congressman Wiener, because he said a lot of what I had it in mind to say, which is the idea of splintering the population and farming it out to for-profit private insurers is just wacky, I think. But
okay, but I don't want to have the political debate again.
Yeah,
I want to hear your experience.
But there's another population who have Medicare that private insurers also do not want to cover, and I'm in that population. I'm not 65 yet, but I'm on disability, and I have Medicare. And prior to that, I was a working person, and I've had a number of different private insurers, and Medicare's way more efficient, way less restrictive.
So
from my satisfaction point of view, much better.
So if you were given a voucher and said, go out there, and there might be, you know, five or six different companies, or however many it actually turns out to be, in New York who compete for your Medicare dollar, and provide you a plan, you don't even want that choice.
No.
Thank you.
Because, I mean, I used to participate in my little nonprofit's decisions about who we were going to buy insurance from, and it was going up 12% and 13%, the premiums, every year. It was like always buying a pig in a poke. You had to buy the policy before you actually got the policy materials and found out what it was you had bought.
So not that you're necessarily in a position to know as a patient, but how do you think Medicare as it is could save money?
I think what we've got to address in the elephant in the room is pharmaceuticals and the fact that Medicare is not allowed to do Medicare Part D in its own right, that under Bush that was put in the hands of private insurers, and therefore that's not the big block, and Obama gave it away.
Have Medicare given the power to negotiate with the providers and the drug companies. Gotcha. Judith, thank you very much. Patrice in Scarsdale, you're on WNYC. Hi, Patrice.
Hi. I feel there needs to be a massive public health campaign on TV and in the news.
First, I understand you're a physician's assistant? Is that correct?
Yes. And I work mainly with Medicare patients.
Mm-hmm.
About end-of-life care, because much of Medicare funds goes to end-of-life care. And frequently, there are a lot of things done to patients towards the end of their life that aren't really beneficial. And it might prolong their life by a few days, but It costs a tremendous amount of money.
Yes, incredibly expensive. I mean,
and people
talk about
really don't know about this. It's not discussed openly, and I think that the American public should be educated about it so they can make better choices.
Well, you talk about the courage to go out and say something that's going to get you politically shot at, as Ryan was just saying about trying this at all. Remember when President Obama came out and said pretty much what you just said about how much of our healthcare dollar as a nation we spend on the last few weeks or the last few months of life, and that we really need to take a look at that? And what was the response? The response was to accuse him of trying to create death panels.
He may be president, but he's not a doctor. And I think if they presented both sides of the issues very clearly by medical providers, showing actually what happens to patients, some of the things that we have to do when we give all the care that they want, I think people will understand it's not a granny death panel, and that granny's going to die anyway, and we can make her much more comfortable.
As an individual, as a matter of individual choice, and even that got shut down as death panels, even having the counseling about end-of-life decisions as part of the routine care. But do you think that Medicare should be allowed to save money by denying coverage to procedures that are likely to prolong life only a short time but are very expensive?
Well, even there are many procedures that are done just to diagnose something or re-diagnose something that you can't do anything about. And just saying, like, having people sign consent forms and telling either the patient or their healthcare proxy that having this procedure will not change any of the management, I think would cut drastically the number of procedures that are done.
Thank you very much, Patrice. I appreciate it. As we take calls from Medicare patients and providers about what could be done to improve the system and save money. Arthur in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hello, Arthur.
Hi, Brian. I was on original Medicare at one point, and then my union switched me to an HMO, managed care.
One of the Medicare Advantage plans?
Exactly, a Medicare Advantage.
And did you get a choice at that point where there were different insurance companies, kind of like Ryan is proposing for all of Medicare, decide which one?
No, my union is hooked up. I'd rather not go into the names.
No, you don't have to.
But my union is hooked up with a specific plan.
Okay.
And I just want to say briefly that originally I was paying 20%, of course, of the Medicare costs, and the government was picking up the 80%, and I was very happy with that. Now my costs are much less. I'm paying almost nothing. Mm-hmm. I have the cheapest plan in the world, but I have to go through a referral system. I find that extremely annoying. Maybe I shouldn't complain, but I just find it very annoying.
Primary care physician who has to approve all the specialists.
Exactly. Under original Medicare, I could just pick up the phone and call any doctor I wanted. So I am really toying with the idea of dropping the Advantage plan, even though I'm paying almost nothing.
And go back to Medicare.
And going back
as
and paying
an individual.
My 20%, but just to have that wonderful, wonderful freedom of choosing my physician, and that's all I have to say
Follow up and ask you one thing? Do you find that with the Medicare Advantage plan, because this is what I understand one of the good things about it is, that you also get other things covered than traditional Medicare Part A covers? Do you get, dental or vision or any of these other benefits?
I'm covered completely on the prescription drugs. I pay zero for almost every prescription I get. When I go to the drugstore, my copay is almost always zero.
And the reason that Obama wants to phase out the Medicare Advantage plans is because they're actually too good a deal, and the government is winding up subsidizing your plan more than traditional Medicare.
And I just want to say one more thing. When I get the statements in the mail showing how much the Advantage plan pays my doctors, they pay them almost nothing. They cut them down to the bone. And I've had frank discussions with some of my physicians, and they say this is murder. And I said, I asked one of them, what would happen if I went back to original Medicare? They say, we love it. Mm. We would take You Bet We Love It. We hate the Advantage plans are killing us.
Oh, that's so interesting, because those reimbursements are even less than the Medicare reimbursements that they're already complaining about. Arthur, I really appreciate your call. Thank you. And Richard in Woodmere, you're on WNYC. Hi, Richard.
Hi, Brian. Thank you for taking my call. I'm from Woodmere, but I'm actually pulled off to the side of the Cross Island by Belmont Racetrack so I could speak to you.
Thank you.
I am a geriatric psychiatrist. I do earn most of my income from Medicare. And I would say two things. One, I do think it has to become a national single-payer system covering all Americans.
It is a national
way of spreading the risk, and that in and of itself, I think, would save money.
Covering all Americans. In other words, if they spread Medicare as a single-payer system down to the rest of the population, the younger population.
Yes. Now, I think also something that I haven't heard anybody speak about recently anyway is I think the notion of an entitlement for over people over 65 is kind of arbitrary, and it's based on demography from 50 years ago. I think everybody should pay. I think it should be a means-tested program, and you pay based on what your income is, and it shouldn't matter what your age is. You got to pay whether you're 80, 90, or 10, and that would be another way of, I think, saving money.
And that's another thing that Ryan actually proposes, that the size of the voucher that the individual...
No, not a voucher.
I understand
you.
I understand you.
Can I just give you a real world example of what I mean? Your other callers are all making very good points.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to give you another example of, again, something that's rarely talked about.
Go ahead.
As a geriatric psychiatrist, I'm involved in consulting at nursing homes that have short-term rehabilitation programs. These are very common now. Many, many Medicare recipients who are hospitalized almost routinely go to short-term rehab that are units that are based in nursing homes for, you know, relatively brief periods of time usually, anywhere from a few weeks to a month or two. Now, if you have regular Medicare, you can basically choose the nursing home that you're going to go to for short-term rehab. If you have a managed Medicare plan, only certain nursing homes have contracts with certain of the companies that have Medicare Advantage. And usually it's the middle or even substandard nursing homes that have those contracts. So your choices of where you're going to go for short-term rehab become severely, severely limited.
Right. That's a really interesting point, and that's what I think people in private plans today often find, is that they have limits, obviously, on the in-plan hospitals or nursing homes or whatever the providers are, and if the ones in your particular insurance plan are substandard, then you're kind of stuck unless you decide to go out of plan. That certainly has been one of the advantages of Medicare, that people have all this choice, as we heard the previous caller, tempted to pay more out of pocket to go back to and maintain all that choice. Richard, thank you very much. I was going to say about the sliding scale and the ability to pay, that part, though it's attached to a voucher plan, is also in the Ryan plan. That's another thing that people in the country are going to be debating, and that is whether we want Medicare to be on a sliding scale so that there's actually a means test and people who are still earning more through working or through investments actually have to pay more. In fact, we have a post on our comments page to that effect that says, I just went on Medicare this year when I reached age 65 in January, and frankly, I'm satisfied with it, but not with the supplemental my employer offers. But as for Medicare, the problem is nothing or very little more than the fraudulent abuse that happens. The overhead is far less than private companies, and as it is said, it's because most of the money to private companies is to prevent and avoid the fraud that Medicare is hit with. But I'd rather my money go to Medicare to fight the fraud than that it go to the CEOs of mega private healthcare companies. In the long run, it would be cheaper, writes a listener, Robert. By the way, our comments page is open for continuing this discussion even after we finish it on the air. Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show. And Joe in Orange, you're on WNYC. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Brian. How are you?
Good.
As a physical therapist working in a hospital system, one of the differences between hospital-based and private practice is that Medicare is uncapped, meaning that if someone comes in, they basically have up to 90 days of unchecked visits, and that's three times a week for 12 to 15 weeks, they basically get whatever they need paid for, and no one monitors it. Where in private practice, there's a cap of, I believe, $1,800. And people with Medicare know this, and they will go to a hospital for their treatment just because they know they're going to get 90 days whether or not they need it. And a good physical therapist will cut them off when they no longer need medical treatment, but some people, to make money, will just keep providing care and billing for it, and they pretty much get paid.
What's the solution?
The solution, I believe, is to run more checks and not pay just because you get a bill. You have to look at these therapists and see who's treating for 90 days consistently and who's actually providing care based on medical necessity, not just because they get paid.
Joe, thank you very much. Thanks to all of you who called in, providers and patients alike, to get your takes on Medicare and what works and what doesn't and how to save costs and whether you like the Ryan approach. You can continue this very important conversation, and I'm sure it'll continue to be interesting for a while on our comments page. Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show. And coming up next, we will hear about what actually would shut down in the tri-state area if there is a government shutdown at the end of tomorrow. Stay with us.